have your Bibles, you can open them to Hosea chapter 4. Praise God. It's going to be good today.
Amen.
It's going to be real good today. Praise the Lord. I love seeing all these little young people in church today. It's so cool seeing all the kids, isn't it?
Amen.
Praise God. God's got good plans for their lives. Hallelujah. Hosea chapter 4. Now, Hosea is a part of your Bible where the pages are still all stuck together. And, you know, or maybe one somebody out there saying, Pastor, no, that's my favorite book. No, probably isn't, but Hosea chapter 4 and verse 6. Now, I want to remind everybody here today that we don't just come here to play church. What do I mean by that? You're going to hear from heaven today. Say, what do you mean I'm going to hear from heaven? God's going to say something through me to you. I don't know everything you're going through, but He does. Praise God. And when He speaks to you, it's going to hit the bullseye right in your heart. It's going to be like I'm talking directly to you. And you say, how did that happen? Well, that was God. And don't miss it. That's how God does things. Praise God. And so get ready for it. Amen. Well, let's pray before we get into the Word. Father, we do love You. You are such a good and merciful God. Father, You're not mad at us. You're not condemning us. Father, you're not up there with the baseball bat or the big fly swatter ready to get us. No, You're full of mercy. You're full of compassion. You're full of love. Father, Your forgiveness, Your long-suffering, You're patient with us. And we thank You for that, Father. I for one, have needed that in my life. And so I thank You for Your patience and Your mercy and Your love. And Father, I thank You for the Word this morning. Speak to our hearts. Father, I already put it out there. I already told people You're going to speak to them. So I thank You, You will. Father, hit the bullseye of their hearts this morning, Lord. Directly, speak exactly on the level and what they exactly need, Father. The level that they're on so they understand, Father. And may they have an experience with You this morning, Lord. That's not boring church as usual. That's not, well, let's just show up on Sunday morning because that's a thing to do. No, we're going to have an encounter with the living God here today. And people are going to realize that You're real. And it's going to be a sign unto them that there's a better way for them. That there's a better life for them, that You got more for them. So, Father, we thank You that You'll do it. We give You all the praise and glory for everything said, done here this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, let's go to Hosea 4:6. Of course, you had time to turn there. If you don't have your Bibles, we do have them up on the TV screens for you. I wasn't sure I was going to preach this message. For those of you that don't know, I also pastor another church on Saturday nights in Olean. We started that in September. And, we're looking for a building out there. We've outgrown the Hampton Inn where we're meeting, and we've just been having awesome service. I think we had 3 or 4 visitors again last night, and just we're packing out that room. I've actually stopped advertising and stopped even inviting people, which who does that in church, right? You, don't come to my church. We don't have room for you. Praise God. And no, that's not what we're telling people, but we're looking for a building, but we preached the sermon last night, and I didn't know I was going to preach it this morning. But man, people walked out of there blessed and walked out of there helped, and you know, different things will come forth this morning because there's different people here. But just get ready to be blessed this morning. God's going to talk to you. But anyways, Hosea 4:6 says this. It says, my people are destroyed. Does everybody say destroyed?
Destroyed.
That's a heavy word, isn't it?
Yes.
For a lack of knowledge. Now, destruction can come in many ways. You can be destroyed financially. You can be destroyed in your family. You can be destroyed in your body. You can be destroyed in your mind. There's a lot of different ways, right? You can fill in the blank to whatever might be going through for you in your life. But notice the Bible says that my people are destroyed for a lack of what they know. Right?
That's right.
He didn't say they're destroyed because of the country they were born in or the last name they were given when they were born. Didn't say they were destroyed for the part of town they live in or where they grew up or such and such. It says, my people are destroyed for a lack of knowledge. Isn't that amazing? Well, Jesus said the same thing if we flip over to John 8 in verse 32. So you could say it this way. Destruction in your life. I mean, let's just take ownership here of ourselves for once, okay? I know that's unpopular. We want to blame everybody else. But destruction depends on how much you know and don't know. Couldn't you say that from that verse? Well, John chapter 8 and verse 32, Jesus wouldn't contradict the word. He would go along with the word. He said this, and you shall know, there it is, know, knowledge, the truth, and the truth will make you what? Free. Free from what? The destruction, the bondage that people are in. People are in bondage in their minds to fear, depression, anxiety, worry, financial bondage, financial hardships, right?
Yes.
Physical hardships. Well, Jesus said that your freedom depends on what you know. Now, to me, that's exciting because I can do something about what I know. I can make a change on what I know and don't know. There's no unseen force out there that can hold me under and keep me down. If you'll know the truth, not just hear the truth, not just know that there is a truth, but you got to know the truth. It'll set you free. See, if you're in bondage physically, if you're in bondage financially, you're in bondage mentally or relationship-wise, the Bible says you can be set free from that by what you know. And so I would ask the question, if you're going through a financial test, what do you know about that? If you're going through a physical test or fill in the blank for whatever you're going through, what do you know? What do I mean by what do you know? What word do you know? Because the Bible says if you don't know, you can't expect to succeed. You can't expect to be successful. You can't expect destruction not to come. And so we need to take responsibility. And I don't want to say I pride myself in this. Pride's not a good word, but I like to preach things on the level of where we live. I want to give you something that you can walk out of here and have your life change immediately. I'm not trying to sound all fancy and trying to sound all smart. I wouldn't know how to do that anyways. I just preach God's word and it helps people. Praise God. But if you know the truth, it'll make you free. So we need to know some things, don't we? It's not what your pastor knows. It's not what your spouse knows. It's not what your friends know. It's not what your family knows. It's what you know. You determine your blessing and you determine the cursing in your life. Hallelujah. Well, go with me to Romans 12 and verse 2. We're just kind of starting things out here. Kind of getting the engine cranked up. Romans 12 and verse 2. Okay, so the truth. What does he mean, the truth? What does he mean, the truth? Knowing the truth. What do we do with the truth? Well, we're going to find out. You're going to see why today a whole heck of a lot of people are going to church and are faithful to every, I mean, they got the Jesus fish on their cars, they're listening to the Christian music, they're looking the part, and they're doing all sorts of things, and yet their lives look like a mess and a wreck. You're going to see why today. Because coming in here and sitting down is not going to change anything. There's more to it. Just calling yourself his, there's more to it. Praise God. So we're going to help you. It says this in Romans 12, verse 2. It says, be not conformed to the world, but be transformed. What's that word transform? That word transform is the word change, isn't it? Be changed. Changed from what? Well, if you're unsaved, from darkness to light. If you're poor, from poor to prosperity. If you're sick, from sick to well-being. If you're bothered in mind to soundness of mind. If your children are off serving the devil and off in the world, bringing them back into the kingdom of God, be changed or be transformed. How is that done? By the working of your pastor. By the prayer chains.
No.
I know that's the way a lot of people think things work. By God's happy face just shining on me. He just woke up one day and said, you know what? I want to do good for them today. No, God always has a happy face. He's always wanting to bless you. He's just waiting for your cooperation. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Everybody say my mind.
My mind.
Again, taking responsibility. Be transformed by the renewing of your mind. Now notice this. That you may prove what is that good, acceptable, and perfect will of God. You'll never walk into God's perfect will for your life until your mind is renewed. You never will. It'll never be possible. What is that perfect will of God? That's where the blessing is. That's where the protection is. That's where the long life is. That's where the finances are. That's where the health is. That's where the soundness of mind is. That's where the protection and the blessing for your kids is in that perfect will of God. Well, you can't get there until you renew your mind. It takes you doing something about it. My wife and I, I'll actually have to blame her. She's in nursery today with the kids, but I blame her more. But I do find myself watching them. We like those home makeover shows. Anybody else like those home makeover shows? Where it's like, out with the old, in with the new, and like they just transform things, all beautiful new paint, furniture, appliances, all the good stuff. It's a total remodel. Now, it's the same space, but a remodel. And that's what the Lord said to me in my heart about renewing the mind. It's a total remodel of the mind. Out with the old way of thinking, in with the new way of thinking. Same space, same noggin, same person, but taking what's, you know what it is? It's stinking thinking. That's what I like to call it, stinking thinking. Taking the old out and replacing it with the truth. Replacing it with God's word. That's how you prove that perfect and acceptable will of God. See, so many people have a mindset contrary to God's word. Let me give you an example. So many people have a poverty mindset. I'm poor now. Mama was poor. Daddy was poor. Grandma was poor. Grandpa was poor. It just runs in my family, and I'm just going to have to be poor till I get to heaven. That is a bondage in your mind that has you held down. Same thing with physical problems in people's body. You know, I've had this my whole life. The doctors say it's incurable. I'm just stuck with it. I got to live with it. You know, grandma had things. Mom had things. Dad had things. It's just the way it is. It's, after all, it's just life, and you just get sick. That's a wrong mindset, because that's not what the Bible says. That's not what the Bible says. And see, it might be one way in your mind, but until you remodel that thing and start replacing your thoughts with God's thoughts, you'll never prove that perfect will of God. You'll never enjoy all that God has for you. Just a newsflash here. The Bible says that His thoughts are not your thoughts. His ways are not your ways. God does things different. God does things higher. God does things better. And He wants you to take out the old and replace it, praise God, with the new. And here's the thing, is that what you need to see about this that will help you. We brought this out on Wednesday night. Don't let the fact that the majority, because unfortunately it is the majority of Christians, are not walking in the blessings of God. I see it in my life personally with family members, friends, different people that I see out that I know are born again, crisis after crisis, struggle after struggle, never victory, never any joy, never any shout. It's always one thing to the next. And they love the Lord, and they're on their way to heaven, and they're going to heaven, and they'll spend eternity with Him, and He loves them just as much as He loves me and the next Christian. But don't let that fool you into thinking, you know, He talks about this perfect will of God. He talks about this blessing. But it sure seems unattainable, because so many other people that I know that love God aren't walking in it. Listen, the minority always are the ones that get it. It's never the majority. We saw that in the children of Israel, didn't we? God promised 2 million people a promised land, and only two got it, Caleb and Joshua. We looked at David and Goliath on Wednesday night, and we saw that David was the only person who stepped up in his covenant. David was the only one that said, I know what belongs to me. And it said that all of them, from King Saul all the way down, all the armies of Israel were terrified of Goliath. We don't know how many thousands of people. So there we have 1 in 1,000. Caleb and Joshua were 2 out of 2 million. So don't let that fool you, because the devil will put that thought in your head that, how can I obtain this when sister so-and-so doesn't have it? When brother so-and-so doesn't have it? They love God and they go to church and their life's a mess. How can I get it? You can get it because the word says you can have it.
Amen. That's right.
If you hear that Pastor Mike went bankrupt and died of some disease, that does not change the Bible.
Right.
You do not identify God with circumstances.
Amen.
And people get in trouble. They identify God. You know, things are going bad. God must be down on me. Someone's going through a sickness. Healing must not be for today. Someone who loves Jesus is going through a financial trouble. Prosperity must not be for today. Stop identifying God with the outward.
That's right.
You identify God with His word.
Amen.
And because of that, our minds are consumed with wrong thinking. And we'll never walk into the blessings until we remodel this thing, until we get our noodle changed around.
Amen.
Amen? Well, let me show you this now. Go to Romans 4 and verse 17. And I'll say this, because one minister said this. He said, your mind doesn't stay renewed anymore and your hair stays combed. Every day you got to renew your mind to the word. Why? Because the world is constantly pumping thoughts into you, constantly pumping wrong into you, constantly telling you that you can't have it, constantly telling you that your kids aren't going to fail, constantly telling you you're not going to make it financially. And you need to renew your mind every day. And I love that analogy. Your mind doesn't stay renewed anymore than the hair stays combed. Every day you have to take time to renew your mind. I know you all think that I woke up looking this pretty. I know you all think that, but it's not true. I got this super extra awesome hair gel that I use, because you should see the colics I have when I wake up. I mean, they just shoot in all sorts of different ways, and you just got to have some extra heavy-duty stuff, but I have to do that every day. Caleb always sits there. He's like, Daddy, I want some hair gel, but that boy's got, like, perfect hair. My son, I don't know, he must have got it from his mother, because he didn't get it for me. But every day I got to do that. If I don't want the colic shooting up all over the place, I got to get in that mirror, I got to get that stuff out, rub it in, and do it all sorts of different ways, right?
Yeah.
Same with you. Same with you.
Yeah.
Same with the mind. Same with the mind. It's a lifestyle of renewing your mind.
Yeah.
People say, I don't want to do this every day. Well, how bad do you want the blessings of God in your life?
Amen.
Romans 4:17. So the Bible says to replace your way of thinking with God's way of thinking, renewing your mind. Well, it's interesting when we look at God's Word. In Romans 4:17, it says this, as it is written, this is God saying, I have made you, we're talking about Abraham, and I'll explain this in a little bit, a father of many nations, before him whom he believed, now notice this, even God who quickens the dead, but also God calleth those things which be not as though they were. Now when it says God calleth, that means God's speaking. When God speaks forth, that becomes the Word of God, right? I mean, it's not some hard thing. When God says something, that's God's Word. That's the Word of God. Just like when you hear Pastor Mike talking, that's Pastor Mike's words. I hear Pastor Mike talking. Well, when God speaks forth, it's the Word of God. Well, notice how God, when He speaks forth His Word, what He does. He calls those things which be not as if they were. I know that seems confusing, and I'm going to clear it up in a second. But God says something about the natural realm that we can touch, see, taste, smell, hear. He calls something in the natural realm different than what you can see, different than what you can touch, different than what you can taste. That's how God does things. That's how God calls things. He calls those things which be not as though they were. What do I mean? I used this example last night. The Lord gave it to me. It was so good. I'm so thankful for Him. He helps me in the way I learn and stuff. God takes a purple cat and says, you're yellow.
Amen.
God calls the purple cat yellow.
Yeah.
He calls those things which be not as though they were. His Word. Now here's what I want you to see about this. The Word will call you things that may be not in the natural. And I'll get there in a second. For example, the Word calls you blessed financially. It might not look that way in the natural. The Word calls you healed. It might not look that way at the doctor's report or in how your body feels. The Word calls you full of joy and blessed. It might not look that way in the natural. The Word says that the blessed are the generation of the upright and their seed are mighty on this earth. The Word says your kids will serve God all the days of their life. It might not look like that in the natural. But God calls those things that be not as though they were. He looks at a purple cat and says, you are yellow.
Yeah.
Go to Genesis 17 and verse 1. I'm going to teach you this. Help you here. Because when you renew your mind to this Word, you need to renew your mind to the Word being, it is the way I read it. It is that way right now.
Amen.
Even though in the natural it isn't.
Right.
If you want to get over the edge, Genesis 17 verse 1. Helping people this morning.
Amen.
God's got such a good plan for everybody here. My
praise
goodness.
God.
Genesis 17 and verse 1 says, and when Abram was 90 years old and 99, the Lord appeared to Abram and said unto him, I am Almighty God, walk before me and be perfect. And I will make my covenant between me and you, and I will multiply you exceedingly. And Abraham fell on his face, and God talked with Abram fell on his face, and God talked to him, saying, as for me, my covenant will be with you. Now notice this, and you will be a father of many nations. Well, to be a daddy, you got to have a kid,
yeah.
Right? Well, there was a problem. His wife was 90, and he was 99. That don't happen very often.
No.
Make some good money.
Yeah.
A 100-year-old man and a 90-year-old woman giving birth, that would make the news. Praise God. Anyways, verse 5, sorry, my mind just goes to weird places. And sometimes I don't shut it off. I just kind of start speaking out loud, and it's not good. But anyway, it says in verse 5, neither shall your name anymore be called Abram. Now, this is important to get. But your name shall be Abraham. So God changes his name from Abram to Abraham. You say, big deal. God just has been bored. Well, you need to know something about the Hebrew culture. When the Hebrew culture named their kids, there was always a specific meaning for their name. It wasn't just a random, you know, like we do, we pull out the baby books or, you know, whatever, however parents do it nowadays. But back then it was like, no, I want to name my kids something that has a meaning to it. Kind of like a lot of the Native American culture did that as well. And it says in verse 5, neither shall your name be Abraham, but your name shall be Abraham. So what did Abraham mean? It says the word Abraham means in the Hebrew, father of many nations. So God changed his name to mean father of many nations. But now here's the thing that you need to know is that God says, your name shall be Abraham, or he said, your name shall be right now father of many nations. For a father of many nations, I will make you when the boy's born. That's not what it says. For a father of many nations, when your wife gets pregnant, I'll make you. No, he says, for a father of many nations, have I made thee. Right now, I'm making you the father of many nations. Yet there was no baby. There was no baby. But God said right now, remember, this goes back to that verse in Romans 4:17. God calleth those things which be not as though they were. He looked at a 99-year-old man and said, you're a daddy. There was no child. There was no child. And the Bible said that Abraham believed God, and it was accounted unto him for righteousness, and the promise came through. He believed God what? When God said to him, when God's word called him a daddy, Abraham didn't sit there and say, my wife ain't pregnant. She's 90. Have you seen her lately? You know, it's not exactly very steamy when the lights go out. For lack of better, I don't know, that's just the only way I can think of saying it, to be somewhat appropriate here today. And he didn't say, oh no, because the Bible said that Sarah's womb was as good as dead. She was dead. Her womb was dead. A 90-year-old woman's womb is dead. It's not ripe for the pickings for childbearing. And he didn't say to God, God says, you are daddy. He didn't say, no, God, no, I'm not. I wake up every day, there's a new wrinkle, a new gray. I feel a little slower today. I'm almost 100 years old. He said, okay, you call me a daddy? I'm a daddy. I'm a daddy. And God called that good. God called that good. What's my point that I'm getting to you? Well, let's bring it in here. When the word calls you something and you're to renew your mind to what the word says, you are to take the word of God like it is a mirror. And whatever the word says about you, I don't care what it looks like in the natural. I don't care what it feels like in your body. I don't care what your checkbook says. I don't care what your family says, what your friend says, what the devil's telling your mind. Whatever the word says, in renewing your mind, you are to believe that you are that right now. And that's why so few people get this. Because they have to see it to believe it. That's not how God works. God says, I want you to believe me now before you can see it. That's called faith. God's saying, I want you to work in the realm of faith. Faith pleases God. I'm going to apologize for this example beforehand right now. I'm already sorry about this. I don't mean to be gross. I'm not trying to be crude. Again, this is how I learn. This is how the things that come to me and how God must use me. I'm going to blame God. But I hope, now, who here would say that they love Pastor Mike? Would anybody say they love me? Well, you know what the true test of loving me is? The booger test. The booger test. If I'm preaching up here and I got some big green thing hanging out my nose, somebody better tell me, right? If you love me, somebody will interrupt. Right? If I'm at dinner with you and you don't tell me, yeah, I'm going to assume you don't love me that much, right? I mean, that's what love would do, right? It's like, I remember Pastor Nancy Dufresne telling about the woman that was getting married. Or no, it wasn't the bride, but it was the one of the bridesmaids, and she had to run to the bathroom right before service. And this is a true story. And she's coming out, and it's her turn to walk up the aisle, and as she's walking up the aisle, her skirt's lifted up, and there's toilet paper hanging from her backside. Nobody that whole way up that aisle said anything to her. That's cruel. That's cruel. I mean, that's funny in a way to think, oh, that's awkward, but that's cruelness. And that's cruel if you don't tell me, just so you know. But here's the point. I could get done preaching, and none of the people that say they love me tell me. And I can go look in the mirror, and I can see that and be horrified. Oh, my. You've all been there, right? Where was that there the whole time? And I can see my reflection. And I can argue with that mirror and say, there's no way that was there the whole time. God, no, there was no way that was there the whole time. Nobody saw that. There's no way anybody saw that. And I can argue with it, but the reflection's telling me something different. The reflections tell me, sorry, pal, that was there. And everyone saw it, right? Same with the Bible. You ought to take what it says in the Word. No matter what it says about you, stop arguing with God. And I'm going to show you four places in the Word that people go through the most. If your place, if I don't say what you're going through is not in here, or what you're going through, if I don't bring it up, you can come see me after service. I'll give you scriptures for what you're going through. We don't have time to go through everything. I'm going to go through four main things that people go through, and we'll close this thing down for today. But when God says in the Word that you're a certain way, stop arguing with Him. When He says you're blessed and rich, stop saying, well, Lord, have you seen my checkbook? Have you seen the stack of bills on my desk? Have you seen this? Have you seen that? The Bible calls you healed. You're going to see it in the Word. Stop arguing with God and saying, but Lord, did you see the doctor's report? That doctor spent hundreds of thousands of dollars and years going to learn about this, and he's telling me and can show me on an MRI, can show me on a CAT scan. Stop arguing with God. That's why so few people get it. God said, the promised land is yours. And most of them went out and said, yeah, but Lord, do you see the people that are already living there? They're giants. We can't have it. And Caleb and Joshua said, yeah, that's tough and it's hard, but we got this.
Yeah.
That's the difference. That's the difference. And I don't mind preaching it, even though a few people walk into this. But let's be part of the few in the whole body of Christ that actually get it. Let's have a high percentage in this church, and we might be small in the body of Christ, but let's be ones that actually get it. So I want to show you that the Word calls you a few things. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. We're going to look at four areas. We won't take too much time on them. We usually go for about 35, 40 minutes. I've learned you don't want to preach the everlasting gospel in one sitting. The heart can't receive any more than the hind end can bear. Right? Once your rear end starts checking out, then your mind starts checking out. So we want to make sure to get you out of here before then. 2 Corinthians 5 and verse 21. For he made him to be sin for us, Jesus, who knew no sin. Now this is going to really bring peace to some people. That we might be made, everybody say made, the righteousness of God in him. The Bible says through Jesus Christ, you've been made. Right when Jesus died, you've been made, and you access it by receiving him, you've been made the righteousness of God. Not the righteousness of your pastor. Not the righteousness of Billy Graham. The righteousness of God. You know what the righteousness of God is? Perfection. God's never missed it. God's never made a mistake. God's never failed. God's never done anything wrong. And the Bible says that you've been made the righteousness of God. But yet so many people are beating themselves up silly for mistakes they've made in marriages, for mistakes they've made with their kids, for mistakes they've made in jobs, for mistakes they've made in their past, for this and for that. And God says, listen, stop it. Stop it. Beating yourself up for habits and addictions that you're going through. All different things. And just, I'm scum of the earth. I'm worthless. I'm a nobody. God can't use me. Yet the Bible says something different about you. It says you're the righteousness of God. What does that do for you if you'd renew your mind to the fact, I'm the righteousness of God. Jesus Christ isn't even more righteous than I am. You are equally righteous with Jesus because you have been made the righteousness of God. How bold would you be in life if you've never missed it? If you never did it wrong? God's not holding everything against you. He says, ask me for forgiveness and I'll wipe it all away. This isn't a license to do wrong. Because doing wrong takes us out of the blessings and puts us on the devil's territory. It's not a license to do wrong, but what it is a license to be free.
Amen.
To be free from your past. The Bible says there's no condemnation to those that are in Christ Jesus. But Pastor Mike, you don't stop arguing.
Yeah.
But you don't know what I do with my kids. Stop arguing.
Amen.
But you don't know what I do with my first, second, third, fourth, fifth, sixth, seventh, eighth, ninth marriage. Stop arguing.
Amen.
You've been made the righteousness of God in Christ Jesus. Accept it and walk in that, right? He says, that's, you all heard this a little couple weeks ago, but this helps people receive. You know, back when I was, back in my sinning days, and I spent a lot of times in the bars, right? And you know, when you have one too many to drink, all of a sudden you put on what they call the beer goggles, where somebody that wasn't so attractive all of a sudden became really good looking. I know that it's just, that's what happens when you get under the influence. Well, Jesus and God look at me through the blood goggles. I look like a mess. I look like there's failures and faults, but all he sees is righteousness.
He's
the blood's just The blood of Jesus is just making his vision fuzzy on me, and all he sees is good. Aren't you glad?
Amen.
Doesn't that help people? Praise
God. That's good.
Oh, that helps me. Romans 8 and verse 37. Why am I telling you this? Because this is what you need to renew your mind to. But God's word always calls those things which be not. So you need to renew your mind. You're not righteous when you clean up your act. You're not righteous when you get all your ducks in a row. When everything's perfect and you never make a mistake and you quit this habit and you quit that habit and you start doing this right. No, you're righteous right now. And if you'll start living in that, those things that are holding you under, you'll be victorious and more powerful over because you'll walk in that righteousness. And those things trying to latch themselves onto you won't be able to hang on to you. That's just how it works. Praise God. Romans 8, 37. It says, nay or no, in all, everybody say in all. These things, the things of what? Life. The trials of life. I don't know. Welcome to life, there's trials. Anybody ever experienced that? Welcome to life, there's trials. And Jesus promised you that you'll have trials in this life. So don't think going to church and becoming a Christian makes you exempt. You're not exempt from tests and trials, but you're exempt from failure. If you want it, you're exempt from being overcome. You're exempt from him, from the enemy having authority over you anymore.
Hallelujah.
In all these things, I love it. He doesn't leave anything out. We are more than conquerors. Aren't you glad that you're not even a measly conqueror?
Yeah.
I mean, that'd be cool and good enough in itself. Sure. But the Bible says you're more than a conqueror. Then why do I hear people... when ding dong, knock knock, you open the door and there's hell in all its fury staring at you. Walking around saying, we'll never make it. It's never going to be okay. Things are too hard. I can't do it. Can't is not and shouldn't be in the Christian's vocabulary.
Amen.
Why are they saying I can't do it? Why? Because their mind hasn't been renewed. That they're a conqueror. Now, here's what you need to know. If you're going to be more than a conqueror and you're going to be all excited when I say you're more than a conqueror and we go, woohoo!
Yeah.
Praise the Lord, I'm more than a conqueror. Well, that means... you're going to have to conquer some things to earn that title. You can't be called more than a conqueror if you have nothing to ever do. So why, when things show up, when we're excited about being more than a conqueror, when you actually have to conquer something, do people start talking doubt and unbelief and the Eeyore spirit drops down like a cloud and everybody's, oh, poor me. I can't do it. It's too hard. Woe is me. Why? Your mind has not been renewed to the fact that you are victorious and there's not a thing in this world the devil can take from you if you'll walk in the power of the word.
Amen.
So that's two things that you need to renew your mind to. Calling those things. Say, but I'm being whooped in life. I'm being defeated. Calling those things which be not as though they were. Calling the purple cat yellow.
Amen.
You might look defeated. It might look terrible on the earth, but you're calling yourself victorious because you're renewing your mind. So then you can shift over into that perfect will of God. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9. Two more things. 2 Corinthians chapter 8 and verse 9. Doesn't it start to bring light on the people, why people don't ever walk into these things? Again, and you got to make sure you don't get into condemnation here today. Because this is supposed to be an eye-opener. This is supposed to be revelation to see, okay, I can see why maybe for years I've struggled with the same things. Or for years why my finances haven't been right. Or for years why healing doesn't make you a bad person. You just need to get into the know.
Yeah.
Get into the know today, praise God. Don't beat yourself up, man. There's no condemnation. Who hasn't missed it and who hasn't needed grace and who hasn't needed mercy and who hasn't needed a spank on the rear end to get corrected? We all have.
Yeah.
And I get them almost all the time. I want to say almost daily, but man, that's a bad confession. I get spanked daily. 2 Corinthians 8 and verse 9 says this. For you know the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, that though he was rich, you look up that word, it's material rich, abundantly supplied. I was saying last night, don't look at me with that religious tone. It's not talking about Jesus being spiritually rich. Look up the word in the Greek. He says, yet for your sakes he became poor. Where? On the cross. He didn't become poor on the earth. Everywhere he went, he was abundantly supplied, wasn't he? Yeah, he was. You find one place where Jesus was in lack in the Bible, and I'll find you ten places where everywhere he went, if he needed food, food came. If he needed tax money, the fish had to give it up. Yeah, if he needed protection, he'd walk through a crowd of people that were trying to throw him off a cliff. Everywhere he went, whatever he needed. Praise God.
Amen.
It says that he became poor that you through his poverty might be rich. Everybody say rich.
Rich.
The Bible says because Jesus becoming poor on the cross, you now have the ability to walk in richness. Not spiritual richness, although that's included. Material, financial richness. Now, don't get tripped up with that word rich. Don't get in the ditch. We're not getting in a prosperity ditch. The biblical definition of being rich is being abundantly supplied and having enough left over to be a giver. Being blessed to be a blessing is richness. We're not talking about being selfish. We're not talking about being greedy. We're talking about getting blessed to be a blessing. And the Bible says that Jesus became poor. On the cross, just as much as he paid for your sins, he paid for your poverty. His poverty, your poverty was laid on him so that you could be rich. But see, most people, they'll say, I'm going to be rich when? That's not calling those things which be not as though they were. When the money's in the account, then I'm rich. The money doesn't make you rich. Jesus dying on the cross makes you rich. Because you're rich, the money then comes. Money tracks me down because I'm rich. The money doesn't make me rich. That's what the world says, but we need to transform our minds from the world's way of thinking to the Word's way of thinking. And you need to start walking and say, I'm rich right now. But pastor, it doesn't look, stop arguing with the Word. He called Abraham a daddy and there was no child. He calls you rich and there might not be any money. But Abraham didn't argue and the baby came. Yeah. Stop arguing with God and agree with God and the money will come.
Amen.
Amen. I love this story that Pastor Nancy Dufresne tells. And by the way, she's going to be in the Jamestown Church this week. I totally forgot to announce those meetings. Let me know if you want to go and you ought to be at some of those. They'll be a blessing to you. She is wonderful. But she tells a story of a person talking with a Jewish man. And this guy went up to this Jewish man and he said, how is it that you're prosperous? To the Jewish man. He says, how is it that you're so prosperous? And the Jewish man says to the other guy, says, I don't understand your question. He says, how is it that you're so prosperous? Jewish man says, I don't understand what your question is. So a third time, he's kind of frustrated. Now he says, how is it that you're so prosperous? And the Jewish guy says, listen, you're trying to separate prosperity from being a Jew. I'm rich because I'm a Jew. They're attached together. Because I'm Jewish, prosperity follows. It's the same as a Christian. Because you're a Christian, richness is attached to it. It's like if somebody came up to me and asked me, Pastor Mike, how did you become a man? I'd say, I don't understand your question. How is it that you're a man, Pastor Mike? I don't know, I was born this way. Didn't do anything to obtain it, just born into it. I don't understand your question. See, too many people are trying to separate the money from their inheritance of being in covenant with God. You can't separate the richness, the financial richness, from being a child of God. They go together.
Amen.
When you get born again, the Bible calls you not only free from sin, the righteous, the Bible calls you the rich. He said, well, I'm not seeing it. Well, neither did Abraham until he got on board with God and what God was saying.
That's right. That's good.
See, God's way of doing it, it's easy to believe you're rich when the money's there.
Sure.
It's easy to confess you're rich and well-supplied when all your bills are paid and money's left over. Where faith is and where the rubber meets the road is when you can't pay your bills, when you have so much debt, it's coming out your ear, your eyeballs, your nose, and everything else you can think of, it's coming out of.
Yeah.
And you're saying, you know what? And you got a smile on your face, you say, money's coming to me.
Amen.
I'm the rich of the Lord. I'm prosperous. I'm the head and not the tail. My cup overflows. I have more than enough. That's faith. That's like Joshua and Caleb saying, we can overcome this when there was no earthly reason to believe they could. That's why David could say, the same God that delivered me out of the lion and the bear is going to deliver me from this giant when there was no earthly reason why he should be able to say that. But he called those things which be not as though they were. Last but not least, 1 Peter 2:24. Renewing your mind to God's thoughts. What are God's thoughts? God's word is God's thoughts. We're almost done. If you walk out of here and don't do anything with this, you wasted your time. Because God wants to change your life. And God's plan for your life is to get into a Bible-teaching church with a pastor that will tell you the word of God. It doesn't have to be this church. But getting into a Bible-teaching church and getting faithful. And hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing the word and renewing your mind to God's thoughts. 1 Peter 2:24. It says, who his own self bore our sins in his own body on the tree, that we being dead to sin should live unto righteousness, by whose stripes you, what's the next word?
Were.
Is that past, present, or future? Past tense. The Bible says you were healed not when the doctor's report lines up, not when the body feels great. You were healed the day Jesus Christ bore your stripes on the cross. By his stripes, Isaiah says, we are healed. And Peter said, you were healed back on the cross. So many people are looking forward to their healing. Start looking backwards to your healing. Your healing isn't when it shows up. Your healing is when it was on the cross. Again, calling those things. Faith is when your body is telling you all sorts of different things, symptoms, doctor's reports, and you're sitting there saying, you know what? From head to toe, I'm healed and whole. I'm going to walk in the power of God. I'm not going to have this the rest of my life. Healing is mine. It belongs to me. Yeah, calling those things, which be not as though they were. And I'll close with this story, and I'll even close my Bible to get you excited that I'm closing. Regular comedian up here, huh? Praise the Lord. Anyway, in my life personally, this isn't me bragging, I'm just kind of, here's an example. In baseball, man, I could field a ball, but I didn't have the strongest arm. Didn't have the strongest arm, but boy, I could field. That's not me bragging or me being down on myself. It's just telling you the truth. In the things of God, believing for healing has never been a struggle for me. Now, I have to renew my mind the same as the next person, but it's not something that's ever tripped me up. Believing for prosperity, believing when a financial test comes across my desk, it doesn't trip me up anymore. It's something that just doesn't throw me off. Now, again, I got to renew my mind and build my faith up the same way that you do. But and maybe the healing is an area that trips you up. Maybe finances are a thing that trips you up. But the thing that in the past has tripped me up the most has been condemnation and the righteousness message. Constantly beating myself up, hammering myself. I'm no good. I'm worthless. That God doesn't have good plans for me. Going back through all the mistakes of my life. That's the area that Pastor Mike has struggled the most in. Whatever your area, maybe it's finances, maybe it's fear, maybe it's worry, maybe it's condemnation, maybe it's anxiety, maybe it's anger. Who knows what it is? Maybe it's being impatient, maybe it's complaining, maybe it's healing, maybe it's money. I don't know what your area is, but I know what my area is, and it's been in the area of condemnation. And I'll tell you what, when God says I can have something, and he says I can walk in freedom, see, because the Bible says there's no condemnation, none. The Bible says I can forget those things which are behind and go forward. That he's not holding anything of my past against me. The Bible says that he that begun a good work in me will complete it. That's not the end for me. So the Bible says something than what my mind likes to say a lot of times, what the devil will tell me. Well, a few years back, I was going through a heavyweight trial of condemnation. And I've told this story, and I'll keep telling it until people start doing it in their areas. And I was beating myself up to the fact that I'm not going to make it. I'm worthless. I'm not going to do this anymore. God doesn't have anything for me that I'm worthless and it's over for me and I'm done, basically. Well, that's not what the Word says. And I didn't like living that way. I didn't like living with thoughts of suicide constantly, thoughts of depression constantly, thoughts of worry and anxiety and down on myself constantly. Who likes to live that way? Nobody. And there's a better tomorrow for you if you'll do it the Word's way. Yeah, I'm going to say that by inspiration of the Holy Ghost right now. There is somebody in this room right now, you are constantly bombarded by suicidal thoughts. Constantly bombarded with suicidal thoughts. I don't know who you are, but there's somebody in this service. And if you want help from that, come see me. I know what it's like. And But the reason I say that out loud is to tell you that God's on it. He knows what you're going through. I mean, constantly. It's like just a barrage of thoughts bombarding you about taking your own life. God doesn't want that for you. But anyways, I was tired of that. I said, well, maybe it's start time for me to renew in my mind to what the Bible says. Well, faith comes by hearing and hearing and hearing and hearing. Those heavyweight trials aren't going to come from listening to, well, the Bible says there's no condemnation. Woohoo, I'm free. No, I need to renew my mind daily, over and over. So I've told you the story. For a year, I listened to a message on condemnation over 1,000 times. I'm not exaggerating. And I repeated the message and probably heard it in my ears close to 2,000. Because I would repeat it day after day. I'd be working in the grapes, cutting grapes, and I'd be under my breath quoting the whole message that Pastor Nancy Dufresne. I knew every place she paused. I knew every place she stuttered. I knew every inflection, different inflection in her voice. Why? Because I knew I needed to hear that there's no condemnation, that there's more for me, that it's not over for me, that God's got a plan for my life. What is it for you? Maybe you're bombarded with the thought that you're always going to be sick, that you're always going to be poor, that you're always going to live in fear, that nothing's ever going to be different for you. Get the Word of God on that subject, and over, listen to that until you take. Some remodel jobs are harder than others, right? I mean, some, there's a lot more work to do. And you might have to take, for condemnation, I didn't have to take as much work remodeling for finances and healing as I did for condemnation. I mean, I had to sit there with a sledgehammer and just beat away at it, and just little chips would come off. Where when I, for the healing and all the different things, take the sledgehammer, boom, walls fall down. But with condemnation, it was like a constant battle. But you know what? Every time I knocked at it, a chip went away. A chip went away. A chip went away. Until finally I became free of that, and there was nothing nobody could tell me, no past thing anybody could tell me that I was a failure. I'm the righteousness of God. I got a plan for my life. I'm here to help people. I'm going to fulfill my plan. I'm going to stand before Jesus. He's going to say, well done, thou good and faithful servant. I'm not going to let the devil and all of my thoughts and people around me, family, friends, or whatever, try to point out my things. Nope, I've renewed my mind to the Word. I don't care what you think. I don't care what my family thinks. I don't care what people in the community think. I only care what God thinks. And he says, Pastor Mike, you are righteous. You're my child. You're clean. You're as white as snow. Yeah. That's how it's done right there. Praise God. So whatever you're going through, get the Word on it. And listen to that. And feed on that. Over. Meditate on it. I'm healed. I just shut my Bible. I don't believe that. I need to get back in there. Until it's such a reality. You can't talk me out of being righteous. You can't, the best debater and the best lawyer and the best persuader in the world will never be able to talk me off the fact that I'm righteousness of God. Hallelujah. And I can stand before you here this morning and tell you I've never sinned one time in my whole life. You say, the blasphemy, Pastor. The Bible says once I'm forgiven, I'm cleansed of all unrighteousness, and righteousness is restored unto me. And he says, forget those things which are behind. So if I've sinned, I don't know it.
Yeah.
I don't know it. You might try to bring it up to me, but I don't remember. Because he don't remember, right? Say, he's weird. I'm weird, but I'm blessed. I'll tell you, I'm walking in the blessings. Amen. Praise God. And just trying to bring you up with me. Man, I just love people too much to not tell them the truth. You have a part to play. You got to renew your mind. Amen? Let's pray. Father, we love you this morning. You're so good to us. Thank you, Father, for your mercy and for your goodness and for your love. Thank you for your faithfulness, for your kindness. Father, you're not down on people that are struggling. No, you're trying to bring them up higher. And Lord, religion has told us for so long that whatever will be, that if it is, it is. If it isn't, it isn't. But no, we have a part to play, and I say it is for my life. I'm going to be one of the few, Father, that get it. You paid a high price, Lord. And, Lord, I want to walk in blessings. I have a family. I have kids that I dearly love. So I refuse to go without. I don't care what it takes. If it takes listening to a message 1,000 times in a year, so be it. I want to be victorious. I want to walk in the blessings because I can't help people unless I'm blessed. If I'm the one that's always down and out, I can't be much of a blessing. I want to be on top. I want to be the one that's conquering life and helping people that are hurting so I can pull them up and get them in a place of victory, and then they can go help people that are suffering and hurting. Father, we thank you for your word this morning. Let's just thank him for the word. Father, we thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. Thank you for the word. You don't do things the way the world does things, Father. You call the purple cat yellow, Father. We need to start calling the purple cat yellow in our lives. Start calling our poverty prosperity. Start calling our sickness health. Start calling our worry, fear, and doubt victory. We love you, Jesus. We praise you. If I could ask everybody a favor to bow your heads and close your eyes. Please, nobody looking around. Everybody ask yourself this question, just in your mind ask it. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? Ask yourself that question. If today were my last day on planet Earth, would I go to heaven? If your answer's yes, then ask yourself, how do I know that? Because a lot of people think they're going to heaven because they're a good person, because their good works outweigh their bad, because they've gone to church. Listen, that's... No amount of good works can get you into heaven, and no amount of bad works can keep you out. The only way you can get to heaven is if you say, you know what? I've asked Jesus to come into my heart. Because the Bible says if you call upon the name of the Lord, you're saved. Not if you go to church, not if you're a good person. If you call on the name of the Lord, you'll be saved. See, when I ask myself that question, my answer is 100%, I know I'm going to heaven. And then if I were to ask myself, why? Because I've accepted Jesus. And the Word says so. So if you're here today and you've never made Jesus your Lord and Savior, listen to me. I'm not going to embarrass you. I'm not going to have you come to the front. I'm not going to have you stand up and say anything on your own. Heads are bowed. Eyes are closed. But if you can say, "What? I don't know if I'd go to heaven." Man, why be unsure? It's a free gift. You don't have to come back here. You don't have to be a member here. You don't have to give money here. It's about what you do. It's free. It's just a gift. God loves you. If you believe that Jesus Christ died on the cross and that he rose again from the dead, you are qualified for salvation. You are a candidate for salvation. So with heads bowed and eyes closed, if you're here in this service and you can hear my voice, or if you're listening over the internet by live stream, and you can say, "You know what? I need Jesus. I want to go to heaven." With heads bowed, eyes closed, would you just lift your hand in the air, and you can put it right back down after I see it. Is there anybody here that wants to receive Jesus today? Anybody at all? Just lift your hand up nice and high. I'll have you put it right back down. I'm not trying to embarrass anybody. I'm trying to help people. I see that hand. You can put it down. I see it. You can put that hand down. Praise God. Thank you for your boldness. Anybody else want to receive Jesus here today that didn't raise their hand? Father, I saw one hand. I'm thankful for that hand. And Lord, I don't know who's listening or who will listen in the future that I'll never be in contact with, but Lord, you said if we call on your name that we'd be saved. And so if you raised your hand, or if you should have raised your hand, or if you're listening, and of course I wouldn't be able to see your hand, and you want to receive Jesus and you want to go to heaven, there's only one thing left for you to do. The Bible says if you confess with your mouth and believe in your heart that Jesus is Lord and that he raised from the dead, you'll be saved. So we're going to have you pray, but you're not going to pray by yourself. Don't worry. We're going to all pray with you as the whole church. But if you raised your hand, or if you should have, say these words, but mean them with all your heart. Don't just repeat them, but mean them with all your heart. If you really want Jesus, mean them with all your heart. So if you raise your hand, go ahead and say this after me, along with all the church. Everybody say this. Lord Jesus, I believe you died on the cross for my sins. I believe you rose again from the dead. And I ask you to come into my heart. Thank you for saving me. In Jesus' name. Amen. You can look up here before we're dismissed. How simple is that, right? Man, praise God. God don't make it hard. Churches and religion will make it hard and make it hard for you to get to God. God doesn't do that. If you raised your hand, my goodness, and if you should have, or if you're listening and you did and you accepted Jesus, man, the life that God has waiting for you is unbelievable. Get next step now is to find a Bible teaching church that someone will teach you the word. Find out everything that God has for you. Get faithful there. Renew your mind to the word, be a doer of it, and watch God transform everything. Amen? Well, have an awesome rest of the week. Don't forget the book of the month is out there. And have a good rest of the week. We'll see you next Sunday.